It's a very special service today because we have some guests from out of town who went really far out of town to go on a missions trip, and we're looking forward to having them tell us all about it, okay? So before I say any more, let me invite the people up. I guess I don't know how to do this. Jung Yin, welcome. Jade, Ken, Jess, Jason, who else is there? Jofo? I think we have enough chairs. I hope we have enough chairs. Feel free to take a seat. We have two mics. We'll try and share it between us. Ken, you're on your own. Ken, maybe you should sit here then. And then you're not so left out. And you're not blocking any of the ladies. Brilliant. Right. Well, good morning, everyone. Oh, we have a good few more mics. Good. Well, before we go any further, I guess it's important for you to know who these people are. So I want to ask them to introduce themselves. Name, age, name, where you're from, or what you do now, maybe. And actually, starting with you, maybe you can tell us a bit about, after you've told us who you are, what BLI stands for and everything.
Sure. Hi, guys. So my name's Jung Yin. I'm from Manchester. I work as a GP there, so BLI stands for Bread and Life International, and it's basically a charity that runs short-term mission trips sort of across the globe, really. We center around East Asia because God created us Chinese, so a lot of the times we're slightly more effective in reaching those countries. And what it stands for is bread, as in giving people the daily needs and resources and trying to do charity work there, but also Jesus as the daily bread as well, and delving into the word and life in terms of sort of medical and dental care to provide quality care, but also Jesus being eternal life. So hoping to spread these things, words, love, hope, and the gospel to the people there.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jung Yin. Why don't we move on?
Hi. My name's Jess. I'm originally from London, but I live in Nottingham, and I work in Birmingham.
That's really confusing.
Yeah. London-born bred. And I work as a lab technologist, so I deal with when a patient, before they get an organ and after they get an organ. So, yeah, that's what I do.
Hello, I'm Jade, and I'm in Manchester at the moment, and I am a primary school teacher.
And some of you will remember Jade from when her time here in Birmingham. She studied at university here, training to become a teacher, and sang for us a lot.
Hi, I'm Jo. I'm from Liverpool, but I've just moved to Leicester, and I'm starting uni there.
Hi, guys. I'm Ken. I'm rich from Leicester. Was here in Birmingham, now in Manchester. Fun times.
What do you do, Ken?
I work for Apple. I always have to do this every time.
Yeah.
I work for Apple, but so does my friend Z.
What role do you hold at Apple?
I'm a Mac technician.
Oh. I was hoping he'd tell you the truth, which is he's a genius, which always makes me laugh. It's such an ironic name.
It's just a title. People who know me know that's not true.
Yeah, we got rid of Ken last year, finally, so that's really good.
This year's actually.
Oh, it's this year. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. I'd love to introduce Jo to you as well, who's coming to Leicester, but she, hopefully, fingers crossed, will be coming to join us here in Birmingham for the weekend's church. She is romantically involved with one of our worship leaders. Anyway, right. So you all went to the Philippines, and when was this? Anyone who has the mic can say. When did this happen? When did this whole trip happen? Oh, you are the chosen one.
Okay. This happened mid-August.
Yeah.
We went there for about 10 days. And yeah, I actually went there on my honeymoon. So I've recently got married. So I had a wedding at the end of July in England and a wedding in Malaysia. And we hopped over to the Philippines straight afterwards, and they threw a mini party for me there as well.
Wow, so that was brilliant. Nice. I was hoping you'd mention it. So he got married at end of July, and then his honeymoon was to go on this trip, and I thought that's just amazing. How there's no better way to start married life than to go out and, you know, and start as you mean to go on. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the start of the whole journey in terms of starting in the Philippines, and just talk us through a little bit about, you know, starting your flight from over here and the things that you encountered, you know, in the first few days.
Do you want to start, Ken?
All right.
So going to the Philippines, the journey was quite a tough one. So we all had to fly to Manila, so we all met there and kind of stayed over. And then we took an internal flight. So from here to Manila, depending on where you're coming from, it was very, very long. And the internal flight was to a place called Tacloban, and that was another hour. And then from there, we had a three-ish hour van ride. And it's not like we're driving down the M1 for like 3 hours. It's like mountains, and they're going, like, it's as if you're trying to race people. And these, they don't drive normally as well. So, like, they drive pretty crazy. So you could not sleep on this, even if you wanted to. Like, it doesn't matter how tired you were, especially if you sat at the back. And I swapped to Jason halfway through because it was that bad. So we did that. And then once we get to a place called Dolores, where we did a lot of the work, we actually took a boat to where we were staying, which is an orphanage called San Isidro. And that was about a 40-minute boat ride. So it was a lot of traveling for the first and last day, which I'll be very honest, was very tough. But actually when we got there, it was amazing. Like Jungin said, when we arrived, all the kids at the orphanage were still awake. It was like 9 o'clock, I believe, or 9 or 10 o'clock. So for them to like really welcome us and we were able to worship straight away, it was a breath of fresh air for us. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah,
brilliant. And actually just hearing you say that, and you're going very far out of your way to do this, and actually I know a lot of you actually went for the first time. I'd love to hear from one of you, you know, Joe maybe. You know, this is your first time going on this trip. What made you do something as mad as this?
I think we hear about missions so much as being something that we can do when we go out there. And I wanted to experience mission to see that it wasn't anything that we can do ourselves, but it's how God can use any one of us, no matter what profession we're in or where we come from, to experience God in a different place and be transformed by that. And I think coming back, it wasn't anything to do with us at all, but it was more to do with the encouragement there, how God works there, and how to bring that home to the mission back here.
Yeah, wow. So, okay. Yeah. No, and it's really great to hear everything that you did. So I got the schedule that you guys had from Jason. He sent it to me a couple of days ago, and it's, you arrived on Monday and you left on Sunday, so it's a whole day. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking how you managed to do all of this with jet lag and the travel. But actually, Jade, I believe on the second day already, you jumped straight in, and you know things started happening pretty soon, right? Could you share with us maybe a story or two that really has been engraved in your mind about what happened?
Yes. So we went to two different prisons, and the two prisons were like not the sort that you see on like EastEnders or anything. It's kind of like they were actually like huts, or like kind of they were like kind of straw huts kind of thing, but very warm. And they all had like t-shirts on, like coloured t-shirts that said Jesus on them. So all of the convicts were all wearing Jesus, and it was like, whoa, this is a really nice place. And yeah. They were just kind of like, it was very like community based, and they all sat down and they saw us, and they were all just really smiley. They weren't like groggy or anything, just very smiley. Hello, welcome. And so that was it. So, you know, I came as a teacher. I wasn't medical. I wasn't like a pharmacist. I didn't know anything about that. So I was actually with the prayer team at that point. Being the first day, really honest with you, I wasn't sure what I was doing. So I was like, oh, I'll pray generically for the medicine first. Oh, I pray this paracetamol helps helps your pain. But then it turns out that I overheard one of our other friends called Naomi. She's from Australia, who also came for mission. And I heard her kind of like asking into their lives about like, oh, is there something I can pray for in your life? And I was like, oh, yeah, there's probably more than just the paracetamol. So I was like, okay, let's pray. So I was like, oh, hey, do you have any pain? And oh my goodness, I didn't realize a GP's kind of like position, but you do hear a lot of pain every single day. And like these people not only had headaches, they all had like stomach pains, they had like knee pain, arthritis, just like the range of like and the chest pain and things like that. And I was like, whoa. So I was like, well, God. And what was cool, and majority of you might know this as well, during 40 days of Lent this year, at BCEC, we got that booklet, didn't we? I also happened to be in Birmingham that weekend, so I also took one back to Manchester. And I was reading through like the 40 days of Lent. And do you know what? Reading through the Gospel of Mark was like I felt like God had placed that for me in the beginning of the year, because I saw Jesus's ministry and I saw how Jesus was healing and I saw the different amounts of things I did, like not just the blind, but you know, the people with skin diseases, etc., and people who couldn't walk, the lame. And I felt like that really kind of stirred me on, because when I stood there in front of the prisoners, I was like, well, you know, God, I know that you can do this, and I know that in the Bible you say that you have and you send disciples out to do so. So I was like, right, well, God, I know you can. So, you know, I was just praying, and, you know, there's people with, like, chest pains, for example, and as I was praying, I actually noticed, like, the Holy Spirit, like, just, I just felt like, woo, like, and I was like, in Jesus' name, we pray for, like, this chest pain to be gone in Jesus' name, and you really just felt the Holy, and then I kind of know, like, do you know, like, woo, kind of, I took my hand, I was like, I think it's
I didn't
done.
Know the Holy Spirit sounded like that.
Yeah.
That's really new to me, that's great.
And then I think it's done, so I looked at my translator, and I said, how does he feel? And he said, and he breathed in his first breath, and he was like, the pain is gone. And I was like, whoa, whoa. And I was like, how do you say praise the Lord in Tagalog? And she was like, oh, Salam Ajos. So I was like repeating Salam Ajos all the way through the week. Salam Ajos. And I really genuinely saw these things. And like I'm using Ken's words here, but I can't deny what I saw. And there was a guy who was actually blind in one eye, and he said that it was from a motorcycle accident. You could actually see his eye was actually gray as well, you know, like when you see blind people. And I was like, ooh. So I saw all the other pain. I was like, oh, Jesus, so good. But then when this blind man came, I've got to be honest, I was like, ooh, I don't know. Like, what? And I looked around for anyone else, but it was just me. So I just had to do it. So I was like, well, God, I know that you can, you know, you tell me. So I just went in faith again. I was covering his eye. And then we actually paid 3 separate times for this guy, because the first time it didn't work. But we see in the Bible, in the Gospels, that Jesus would pray again if it hadn't done it the first time. Jesus done it twice, so if Jesus did it twice, we probably need to do it a lot more. So we did it, and I was like, oh, the third time it wasn't happening. So I was like, sir, if you just carry on praying at home, we know, because he actually said that his sight, he could actually start to see something a little bit more after praying 3 times. And I was like, oh, a little bit's good, but still not done. So I said, sir, like, you just carry on praying at home. And then so he went away to the dentistry bit. And for some reason, my heart was like, this guy. Like, I just kept thinking of this guy, and I couldn't let it go. And then, because there was like a... Oh, the reason I sent him away, sorry, there was a massive queue of other prisoners coming, which is why I had to say, oh, there's no time now. But God, like, because he had, like, impressed it on my heart, there was actually a time where the blind man actually came back from the dentist. And I said, oh, sir, come back, because no one was here at this point. I was like, sir, come back, let's pray again. And so I was like, right, God, he's back, and we believe that, you know, he can be fully healed. So I said, God, what did you do? So I thought back, and I was like, oh, Jesus used, like, spit for, like, people's eye. And I was like, you don't want me to use my spit, do you? And so I was like, oh, I was like, is there any water? I was like, girls, is there any water over there? And they were like, it's just finished. So I was like, wow, if that's finished, I was like, do you know what, God, you can do it without the spit anyway. So I was like, come on. So I was like, Lord, come on, I know you can. So we're like praying again. And then we're like, Lord, we pray for clarity. We pray, Lord, your spirit just changes the whole eyeball until it's just clear again, and until he can see full color, and until he can see fullness and just like see far away. And then afterwards, we prayed again. And I was like, how is it? And then he looked, and he blinked like 2 times, and he was like, I can see. And it was like, Salam Ajos. So that was like amazing. Like, and that just goes to show, like, healing doesn't work. Like, well, sometimes it works full on once. But this guy, we had to pray for him like 5 times before he was fully healed in that one eye. And you just have to keep on going, just like Jesus has taught us.
Wow. And I mean, well, because the thing is, we hear about these stories in the Bible, right? We read about them, and, you know, as just Jade said, and we read them. But we sometimes just don't think that it happens anymore. But then to hear stories like this, I hope it does for you, because as it does for me, it really encourages you that actually God is working now, and things are happening now, and God is on the move now. But what I particularly like about Jade's story is this idea that she still based all of it on the Word of God. You know, actually she kept going back to the Word. What did Jesus do? what happened when he was there, and kept it grounded in what the Word of God said, and that's just beautiful. So thank you for that. I can totally see how you're an amazing primary school teacher as well. I could just sit and listen to you. And we need to talk about the Holy Spirit style. I'm really interested in how that works. Jess, why don't you tell us a little bit about the context that you were in before you headed out to the Philippines, and maybe how that whole experience then helped transform, you know, your life here, I guess.
Before, like a couple of years ago, I was actually in one of the darkest moments of my life. I was on the brink of sort of walking away from my faith. Everything was going wrong in every aspect of my life, and I was a very angry, bitter person. And nobody says when you become a Christian, life is easy, because it's not. And then once I sort of got over that, you know, God's blessed me with these incredible people in my life that whenever I wasn't a pleasant person, they still stuck by me, you know. They still, it was just that unconditional love from them, from God, that really just turned things around for me. And when I went, I felt, once I got over that time, and I felt God calling me to sort of go on this mission trip, it was like someone punched me in the gut. And there was a moment sort of as towards the end of the trip, and we had Naomi from the sort of Australia team share, and I just remember, like, there was a moment where we had this gentleman who came to our medical and dental clinics, and he was deaf and blind, and I think, did you see him? Yeah, Jung-in treated, and it was just everything, all because of old age, that, you know, the things that he, for us, like working healthcare and physically, you know, there was nothing you could really do. And then God works in funny, powerful ways, and then everything we know about healthcare completely goes out the window. And he, long story short, he was healed, he could see, he could hear. And I remember, I was the photographer for that trip, and I remember filming that moment when the pastora Feli was praying over him, and he was like, oh, I can see you, I can hear you. And I was there, like, filming, and I was looking at the screen, and I was all of a sudden started crying. And then Jungin's wife, who's also a GP, sort of walked around the corner, and she looked at me, and I was looking at the camera, and I was, like, sort of weeping. And she goes, have you got something in your eye? And I was like, yeah, it's really dusty in here. And it was that moment, and I was just like, this is, you don't see this every day. And, you know, God does some really, really, really amazing, powerful things on this trip that, you know, words can't describe how it makes you feel. I mean, I was physically healed as well. We prayed like 6 times, which was incredible. This is when you don't run, like, on water, on uneven surfaces. I've learned that. And there was a moment where we had a service, and I just remember it was a very dusty area again. And I just remember just, like, weeping so badly and trying to look as if I wasn't. So I was holding my camera and, like, sort of walking around as if I was taking pictures, but I was a wreck. And at the end, when we were called to sort of, like, pray over people as well, it was about not only about sort of forgiving others, but it also concentrated on focusing on actually forgiving yourself and what you used to do in your past, which is sort of like a personal, very personal thing for me. And I looked at Jade, and she looked at me, and I was like, no, I can't do this. And then she came over and, like, prayed over me, and I'm pretty sure I gripped the woman so hard until she couldn't breathe. And I just remember falling down on my knees, and that was a very... It gets me choked up thinking about it, because it took me back to that exact moment of when I gave my life to God. You know, it took me back to, oh, now I know why. Now that love, the thing that actually took my breath away was at the Philippines trip, when we were there with the team, with the kids. If I rocked up to you at 6 o'clock in the morning, you'll probably say, go away.
Yes.
But all the kids were there at like 6 o'clock in the morning, just waiting for us to start morning devotion. They'll be raising their hands up to God in worship. And, you know, we had this exercise in the children's ministry of what do you want to be when you like sort of grow up, get older? And the kids would be like, would write down, they're like half my size, and which is not that big. And they would write things like, I want to be a good servant of God. And then one boy, Ezekiel, he goes, I want to be a missionary, and I just want to serve God for the rest of my life. Wow. And I was like, when I was your age, I wanted to be like Superwoman or something. And so, you know, the people there, what really took my breath away was that they just lived and breathed for God. And I think it says in like 1 Peter, I actually read that this morning, chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, rejoice in glorious and inexpressible joy. And that's what like every single one of them had. You see that they love that, they love their land, they love their people, and they love God. And that was the thing, I think, that touched sort of all of us. Because you get them to share their testimony and to share their faith, and they're like, yeah, go for it. My camera ran out of memory because their testimonies were that long. But if you get them to say their name and say their age and all that stuff, they just wouldn't say a word. They were terrified. And so that was something that really hit home for me and really took back for me, and that I hope that to be able to bring back here. Yeah, to be fearless and like to hopefully be able to show others like how unconditional God's love is, how amazing that is, and how it can really turn you around. I was a really unpleasant person before, and hopefully I'm a little bit better now.
No, praise God that, you know, we think that we're going out sometimes to help people, but God is so powerful, he does both, and you end up being blessed ourselves as well, right? Joe, can you share a little bit more about maybe how the whole experience moved you, and I know that it was an intense week for you as well, right? And what are some of the things that you have come back with?
I think it's definitely responding to the conviction when you know you've got to pray for someone. I think that was so evident on the trip, like, because God was so in everything that we did, like all the time you'd really feel the impression, and it wouldn't just be one person, it would be everyone being like, oh, we should pray for this person now. Like when Jess's leg, she's had like a really bad knee for ages, like ankle. Although it all got healed anyway.
You're doing medicine soon, right? Okay.
It's just a leg anyway. God heals it all. So she's had a really bad ankle for a long time. And I think she actually got healed twice. So on the first time, we were praying over it again and again. We were just like, oh, God, come on, heal it. God, we know you can do this. Like, we've seen so many amazing miracles. And we prayed for it for, like, 6-7 times. It was probably, like,
by the way, she's had this for 10 years.
Yeah, she's had this for a long, long time. And, you know, she's been through everything earthly, like physio and medicine and I think Chinese medicine or something. I don't know, all that stuff. And then it ended up being like prayer and prayer perseverance and really like declaring in Jesus' name that he can heal. And if he chooses to right now, he will heal. And I think it was after a long, long time of just praying and like really feeling the Holy Spirit, like you could actually feel like the warmth coming from it, that like she got healed and like she was jumping around. Ran up the stairs, jumping around, and this was late at night, and she got healed, and it was amazing just to see it so close to home. Like, you see other people there being healed, and you're like, oh, it like doesn't really happen so often, but, and then you see Jess being healed, and it was amazing, and then she injured her leg again at the beach. Yeah, and then I think Jade was praying for it again and again, and we prayed for it again and again, and we thought she wasn't going to be healed, but and then, like, she came back one more time, and she said to Jade, she was just like, just one more time of prayer, I just need one more time, and she really felt like she needed that, and then after that time, she was really healed. That was so amazing. Yeah, amen.
Wow, excellent. And what do you think it was about being out there that was so conducive for all these things happening? Because, you know, I'm guessing that this kind of stuff doesn't happen in your everyday lives here. I mean, it would be great to hear if it does. But what's so special about going out there that made all these things happen? Ken or Jungyin or anyone?
Yeah, okay, fine, okay. So before I want to answer that question, just one thing about what Jess shared about the man who was blind and deaf. He was blind and deaf. He saw multiple of us. So when I was doing triage, he would just hit the table, and then I'd have to ask his wife what was wrong with him. He'd go see the doctors, and the doctors have to ask his wife what's wrong with him. He'd then have to be helped up to go upstairs to see the dentist, and the dentist couldn't find out which tooth that was hurting, so they had to tap on each tooth until he went, ah, and then find out. So it's not that, like, only the pastor who was there was able to see him and then witness him. We each saw him, and we knew that he was deaf and blind before. So when he walked out, and when you could see that his eyes were tracking, you know, when someone can, like, actually see you and you kind of catch their eye, and you see him do that, and he's walking out, you know, with his wife, but, you know, his wife isn't guiding him anymore. That's what was amazing, that in terms of being able to see that transition in such a short period, being able to see so many people see him and then see that change, you know, it was crazy. And then when it happened, and that miracle happened, there was a loud outburst in that small room. And all was like, what's going on? What's going on? Something's happened. What's going on? So, you know, just to be able to see that from, you know, because when we came back that night and we shared that, you know, multiple people shared that on the same person. So it's not that, you know, not all of us were there to actually witness about, you know, that's why we've got video and cameras, which is amazing. But, you know, to be able to see that and see, you know, that ending was, you know, amazing. I've forgotten your question.
Why has it happened over there? What was about right. it over there that made it?
I think the biggest thing about the Philippines is, I mean, this is tough for me because I work in Apple as well. It's like, there is no technology. And what I feel about that is there's no distractions. They have each other. And, you know, for example, we did like a Friday night basketball. So they have this really nice basketball court. I was like, it's really crazy. Like, the village is like, has nothing, no electricity, but this basketball court is brilliant. But what was great is when we went to go play and we went to play with the local villages, the aunties and uncles would just come and sit and it's just a community and you get to say hello to them. There was like an old, like, grandpa who like volunteered to referee. And I was like, we can't even get people to referee to like pay them. And I was like, this guy just comes out and referees for free. And it was like, and it was just that sense of like community. But I think personally for me, it was like there was nothing that was distracting them from each other. And there was nothing distracting them from God. And everything that they did together. You can generally see when they were doing things, there was that sense of community, there was that sense of teamwork and that sense of unity. And I feel that, you know, when I was trying to think of why doesn't it happen here, I think we're so distracted with so many things that we have in this world, in our, you know, society right now, which is great, but I think because they don't really have that, they just have that full reliance on God. And it's because of that full reliance on God, so much happens there. And I remember when we were talking to translators, and they were like, you know, we're seeing people healed for the first time, and seeing, you know, miracles, and seeing people getting saved, and that was such an amazing thing as well. I think Jade has a really good story about that. And then we were asking them, like, does this happen like all the time? They're like, oh no, it doesn't happen all the time. And they're like, I think Jade asked, once a week? They're like, yeah, like once a week. And I was like, what? Like, if you see a miracle once a week, man, that would be amazing. But, you know, for me, I think that's how I personally felt in terms of when I come back here. And, you know, you come back here, you know, you have a hot shower. It's like, oh, so good to have a hot shower. But, you know, you almost just fall back to your normal everyday life, and you almost forget. I mean, I felt ill, so I was like, I was just in bed all day. And then, but you forget that just happened. And it's taking that back and remembering that has happened. God did do that, and like, we can't deny that. But how do we then bring that here? Yeah. And how do we, you know, then take what we've just learned, take what we've just seen, take what God has just shown us, and bring that to our everyday life as well?
Yeah. And whilst we're on, you can. I mean, you know, you mentioned you go out there and it's a completely different world. There's no phones and everything, and so everyone has everyone's attention, and you're praying for people and you're healing them. How have you managed that tension of then coming back to the UK and then turning up to work on a Monday morning to sell the new iPhone XS Max? Like,
no discounts, sorry. Yes.
How have you managed that difference?
I think if we just go back a little bit, before we left, especially I remember when we were here at BCC, one thing that we were really worried about was unity. There was 18 of us, all from different cities, different countries. We were very worried, I guess, from such a big team, whether there'll be unity between us. And what was amazing is when we got there, everyone was jumped on board. We all had that same goal. We all had that same, we knew why we were there. So even like, for example, I didn't know how to do triage. There was someone who would help me to learn, and then I'd be able to do it. You know, if people needed help with, you know, dentists, people would just jump on board. And that sense of unity just was there from, you know, from day one. And I really feel that God kind of just put that in us. So I think something that I think I've learned and that I feel I've wanted to bring back is that sense of unity, is what are we doing together to try and help each other? And what are we trying to do to help to serve God and glorify God? And one thing I always remember is that, you know, things like missions, things like conferences, things like Doxa, it's amazing when we come together, and it's amazing to see God work in such a big, big way. But we're not meant to stay there forever. You know, we're meant to come back down on that mountaintop to serve the workplaces, our churches, our communities. And it's taking that glimpse and going, okay, what can I do with that now? And I think what I've done, you know, from coming back, so I've moved from Birmingham, well, I got kicked out, to Manchester, and I've had like a little, like I've called it like a mini sabbatical from serving church, because I did it here for a couple of years. And it's been nice, it's been really nice to have a break, get used to, you know, get used to the people in Manchester, get to know the community. But when I came back to from the Philippines, I go, it's time to serve. Where does God want me now? I've had my break, I've had my fun. Where does God want me now? Where does God want me to serve? And I think for me, that's how I'm trying to figure it out, saying, actually, I've learned that, but where is my ministry now? And I still have that on my heart, saying I'm still here to serve the Chinese church. I've taken that, what I've learned, but I want to be able to take that and bring it to my local, to my local people, to the people at work. So people ask me about work. I'm trying to make a conscious effort to talk about what's happened in the Philippines, and saying, instead of just saying, oh, it was great, it was amazing to see what happened, and not tell them. Yeah. And it's like, it's our duty, I believe, and says we need to share that. And these are such great opportunities to do that. So I feel that that's how I kind of challenge and encourage you guys, in terms of, if you go to a mission trip, amazing. If you do like conferences, it's amazing. But actually, what God wants us is to take that and what we've learned and bring it to where we are now, and how we can impact people around us. It doesn't have to be thousands and thousands of people. It just starts with that one or two people, to invite them to church, to invite them around for dinner, and just to share about your life. Yeah.
Well, and actually, speaking to you and Jade shortly after you came back from the... Oh, by the way.
No, don't do it.
We need to know this, because we know Jade and Ken very well. Jade, is that a ring on your finger? Ken proposed to Jade recently, so they will be getting married next year. So
it's a miracle.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, yeah, so that was actually hearing them when they came back and they were talking about everything that happened in the Philippines. One of the things that they also said was, we also really missed Fat Camp, and we missed the people that they used to serve. Fat Camp is the youth conference that COCM runs in the summer for all the youths around the country. And they thought, actually, no, that is still also on their hearts, and recognizing that the mission field is everywhere, that is in here in the UK and wherever you go and outside as well. So that's really encouraging to hear. You come back and you do that. Jungyin, you've been on these trips for a bit more than these guys, and I guess you are one of the more older, more experienced people. Tell me some of your thoughts bringing this young group, some of the young people and Ken, bringing them out there. What are some of the thoughts that you had as a leader?
I guess it's wonderful to see these guys grow, and I think a lot of the times people question the value of short-term ministry. How much can we make a real difference? There's no sustainability, the medical and dental work we do out there is just a bit of a laugh, really. I dish out so many multivitamins, I see a guy that's blind and deaf, and I'm like, that's great, here's some multivitamins, you just get on with your life. But there's a prayer station, you should probably go over there, because they can make life-changing differences. And every year, like, God just renews that passion and spirit, and although our mission field, yes, is every day with say our Chinese church and our work, it's so wonderful for the team, for me myself, just to get renewed and see just how God works in a very different way in different places. And as you're praying, fasting, leading up to the trip, and you go out there and you realize that actually you can do nothing, without God you can do nothing. You could do nothing with the translators that are there. You're very limited in your own power. Then you really start start relying on the power of God. You pray more into it, and when you're having to preach for the first time, you're like, am I good enough? Do I know the word enough? But actually, God comes through for you, and through those experiences and seeing these guys grow, and it's just something else. And although we can't provide long-term sort of health care for chronic conditions, actually the love, the care, the compassion actually really changes people's lives, changes communities, and for people to know that actually God loves them so individually that he'd heal someone that's 87 from their sight, from their hearing, you know, and seeing that love and compassion for someone who's probably only got maybe 1 or 2 years more to live actually changes the hearts of people in the community around for the long term. And for the team itself, you know, humbling their hearts, being like, well, I don't know really how God's going to use me. There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding it, but actually going and taking that leap of faith forward, God just meets you after you take the first step. And yeah, every year seeing people grow like that and lives being changed, including my own. Every year I come back, it's just so different, and I'm so fired up to be renewed and bring all that back to my church and share with them the great things that God have been doing, rather than just sitting around and waiting for things to happen.
And actually hearing that is really encouraging for the rest of us who aren't medical professionals. I mean, what use would we have out there? And then to hear a doctor say, actually, I'm out there and I'm just handing out vitamins. But actually, it's the power of God that's really doing all that. And of course, you know, you guys bring all your expertise as well into it. And I think just seeing how God uses whatever we have, whatever skill we have, you know, we have a range of people here. And I think that's amazing that God does that. I mean, if there's someone sitting here who's actually, you know, considering something like this, what would be a word of advice you'd have for them?
Sure. So literally just pray and go. we're all called to mission. It's in the word. Speak to any one of these guys. All 18 of us experience God so individually and so personally, and they have their own testimonies to tell. And I used to think my testimony was really boring, sort of grew up in Chinese church and things. But now, like, I have so many stories to tell of all the good things that God has done in my life and in other people's lives. So, just humble your hearts, pray about it, and just go take that leap of faith. The team are going out to Nepal in November. Pray for them. But it's not about the medical and dental at all. We're icebreakers there so that they can really hear the word and come and get to be prayed for. And that's where it all changes. It's through the salvation of Christ and the gospel, the great news that really changes lives. It's not any medicine or any skills I have or anything we do. It's just that heart to go out and serve as we were called to serve and to love the people.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I was going to say, in talking about first time preaching and salvation, I would love to Jade to share her experience of preaching first time.
I couldn't pronounce this place. Yeah, Aragana. So this place was like an empty island in Philippines where all of the villagers didn't know Christ. They never heard of Jesus, or they never really knew what church was. And that's why the clinics were so great, because everyone heard, oh, there's doctors around, so that they'll come. So what it is whilst people are waiting for the doctors and things, they come into this room like this, and everyone in this room, for example, has a number from 1 to like 80 or something, and you hold on to that number, and people will call your number out, and then you come and see. But whilst you're in this room, you actually have someone in front preaching the gospel. So someone's there kind of like, yeah, so this is what the gospel is. So for me, I did it with two other girls. So it was Chris, Emily, and myself. So it was really cool because like, we're three individuals, but God had gave us something different each to talk about. And it basically was the gospel. And we were like, whoa, like God's really just done it. Because first of all, the girls were talking about, one of them was testimony, her own testimony. Then Chris was talking about, actually, what does the Bible say? It says you're sons and daughters of Christ. You're a new creation in Christ, etc. And then I was there on the side like, oh God, I don't know what to say still. Like, I was looking at my Bible like, where do you want me to go with this? And the three things that popped up just before I went up to speak, one of them was the joy of the Lord. The other one was peace of the Lord. And also the third one was healing from the Lord as well. And so first of all, I was like, hey guys, like, I've been here and I've witnessed myself, like people being healed. And then you could see the people there like, what? Like, whoa, really, this God was healing? And then second of all, we were just I was talking to them about like how when you receive the Holy Spirit into you, when you really receive God into your life, you get this joy no matter what season of life you're in. Like, you will have the joy of the Lord and followed by the peace of the Lord. So I was in the room and I was like, so here, who in here wants the joy of the Lord? And then they all went, yeah. And I was like, and who wants the peace of the Lord? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, well, if you want to know the Lord today and you want to give your life to him, yeah, you can stand up today. And so in our church, normally we can like, everybody close your eyes and the pastor will see who's put their hand up. Here, I stood up and I was like, yeah, so stand up now. And then there was like around 10 who stood up, and then followed by the whole room. Yeah. And the whole room wanted to know the Lord. And I was like, hallelujah. Yeah, like, yeah, that was amazing. And although there are healing stories and you see the miracles of God, actually the most precious gift and the best thing about this mission trip was seeing the lost come to the Father. Yeah. And they wanted the Lord, and they had salvation by the end of it. That was the most precious gift.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. Can we just... it's amazing for you to hear that actually, whilst the healings and all those things are amazing and they are great encouragement and, of course, life-changing for them, but, you know, for you as a team to still feel that the key of all of this was just having them to be saved. And actually, Jason Ho, who's... I can't quite see where he is right now. There he is. We were having a meal together after you guys came back, and he's graciously given up his seat here so these guys can share. But Jason's with us all the time, so feel free to go and talk to him as well. He's very much a part of all of this. And actually, him talking about this team, and he was beaming with pride for the same reason, that these guys had seen healing for the first time, but they weren't swept up by the healing. They were excited by it, but what they were really excited about, and even afterwards, what they were declaring was the fact of the truth of the gospel, and that these people were being saved, and that was their real source of joy. And so, and Jason shared that with me. When I heard that, that is what this is all about. Everything that we do is for that sole reason. All right. So, really, thank you all for going on this journey, to going out of your way to doing this, and then coming back and encouraging us all. I'd love for us to pray for you guys as a team, and just to thank the Lord for what happened as well, but also maybe actually with the typhoon that hit the Philippines and the loss of lives there, I think it would be good for us to pray for that as well, because that wasn't a place that we went in to just smash and grab and leave. And then, Jungyin, could you pray for us actually for all of that, and then we'll wrap this up. Thank you, Jungyin.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you're a good, good Father. We give you thanks that you're a powerful Father that moves in so many different ways, in so many different countries. And yet you meet our need, yet you love us, each and every one of us, so individually, that you'd come and know us personally and change our lives. We thank you that we've had the opportunity for our eyes to be open to see things that we've never seen, and to open our ears to hear things that we've never experienced before, Lord. And we thank you for all the great things that you've done out in Philippines, in San Isidro, and the places around where you've brought people to your kingdom, and you've given them the greatest gift of salvation. We just, extend our prayers for the typhoon that hit Philippines, Lord. We pray that you'll have love, compassion, and mercy on the people. We don't know why it's happened, but we trust in your perfect plan, because... you of all knowledge and wisdom know what's the best, Lord. We pray that the gospel will be spread to these people so that they can have an eternal hope and eternal joy, and just receive the true aid that they need. And that is the message of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ, to enter into their lives, to give them not just a day hope, not just short-term aid, Lord, but hope for a lifetime, an eternal life, to really transform their lives forevermore. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, thank you. Should we give them a round of applause? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Bread and Life International Mission to Philippines, and you'd like to hear our evening services, testimony and sharing, be sure to head to our website, http://thebcec.org.uk, where you can download this evening's sharing as well. Thank you.